welcome back to Cinema Vino. It's good to have y'all.
Back to the 12 string intro.
Exactly. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Put a lot of work into that. So
you know I half expected you to do like a wedding like march.
I thought about it. I don't have a good like church bell setting on
I'm
my
glad
door.
You didn't. Yeah. I like the classic.
Yeah. It sounded like 13 strings even.
Yeah, exactly. You feel that extra string.
It's a baker's dozen strings.
Yeah. I put a whole 30 minutes of work into that, so I figure I might as well get some use out of it.
Yeah.
We got Sean Jordan.
Hey.
And Travis Budd.
What up?
And we're going to do our series on wedding movies. This is wedding season, May and June and whatnot. So we're going to look at some movies and weddings and some wine to go with weddings.
Is that an officially like calendar recognized season?
It is definitely peak season for that.
And we got a white wine to go with white weddings.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Billy Idol and everything.
We'd sing it, but copyright.
Yeah, exactly. Wedding season, I mean, just from working for those who don't know, I was a manager of a wine store for 14, almost 15 years. And weddings were a huge season for us this time of year. Pretty much May, I mean, the summer as a whole, but May and June, you get better weather. June is the cliche of...
ass sweat weddings?
Mm-hmm, uh-huh. Yes. Mm-hmm. June is the primo month. Everybody wants to have their wedding in June. So, for whatever reason. But big time for wines and weddings and yada yada. So, we're going to talk about good wines you can pair with a wedding if you're planning that kind of thing. And then talk about movies and what they get right and wrong as in terms of wedding. I'm somebody who definitely had a large wedding myself.
And yours was a spring wedding?
April, so yeah.
Yeah,
okay. So, because, I mean, yeah, it was kind of off-peak. That was a good time to book stuff because stuff was not already out. You know, we looked at May and June, and everything was just like, you know, already.
Like a fine grape that hasn't quite ripened.
All right, so Waffle, if you can, because I think it's fascinating when I would hear you do it at the, because I worked with Todd at the liquor store for several years. Give our listeners the general wine math or drink math for weddings.
So basically, we would plan on a drink and a half per person per hour. So that's how we would determine how much booze to give them in terms of overall. I mean, depending on what people did, you know, simpler was the better. Wine and beer was the way to go. Some people would want to do booze, but, you know, like liquor kind of complicates the math a little bit. But as a rule, drink and a half per person per hour.
So, and that was, you'd figure out 3 hours or whatever and how many people they had on their guest list to, mm-hmm. to figure out generally how much they should have. And then I do remember you saying...
This podcast throws off drink math.
Yeah. Yes, it does.
I do remember you saying that, like, you guys know your friends and how hard they drink. So you might want to zhuzh it up from there as after the baseline.
Yeah.
Tack on an extra 10, 15%.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Or subtract in some cases.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Mormon weddings.
Yeah. Subtract down to zero. Yeah. But yeah, we will get into the math of this. We'll talk a little bit more about their wedding because now having been through a wedding myself, got married 6 years ago, I can talk about like our math and compare it to theirs. Hmm. This movie, we will talk about this later, but it is a lot of first world problems. It's a lot of rich people dealing with situations.
It was very much 1991 upper middle class.
Yes.
Which also along the lines of Home Alone, where it was like, oh, they were not middle class. They took like a family of 20 to France casually for Christmas.
Lived in a 10,000 square foot house.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So did they.
Yeah.
So did fucking Steve Martin.
Yeah. And they're talking about him and Diane Keaton talking about the other family being wealthy. It's like, no, you own a shoe company mm-hmm. with like 50 plus employees.
Yeah, you guys are and also living also in something.
She
California.
Owned a company too that they didn't like really verbalize, but
they're both business people. Yeah. So very well off. So we'll get to that in a moment.
What are you drinking?
We will start with our vino and we will do our little musical thing to signify our wine.
Music.
So we are drinking Montfrère Chardonnay, which is out of Napa.
Au contraire.
Exactly. Montfrère translates as my brother from French. And we're going to be drinking wines that are all value wines. This, I believe, costs around $10.99, $11.99. affordable. That was always my advice for people planning their weddings was to buy something affordable. Get something because I mean, all the weddings I've been to, including my own, which I've been told was a lot of fun, I never hear people talk about what kind of wines we had. I mean, I've never heard people describe the wines at a wedding because people just don't think about it. You know, they drink what they're...
Well, you go and they're just like, oh, you want white or do you want red?
Yeah, and you drink what you're served.
Yeah.
I mean, the people that do talk about it, I mean, it's like... And we'll get, to talk about this later, but I would deal with people who were trying to impress very specific people, and they were trying to buy wine for, like, somebody's neighbor, you know, spouse or somebody who was a snob. It was always for one person. It was never to impress the crowd. And it's like, if you're trying to, like, win over the crowd, just buy decent stuff at a good price and don't worry about it.
You're not going to a fancy dinner.
Mm-hmm.
You're buying for a crowd.
It's in bulk. Yeah.
You're going to that weird corner place that when you go, they just say, do you want white or red? And you just... It comes out of a carafe. I don't know what's in it.
Yeah.
Let's get fucked up, love one another, and then eat some, you know, pigs in a blanket. That's what I want out of a reception.
That's what I want out of every social situation.
That's every weekend for me.
Oh. This is good Chardonnay. Chardonnay is a good go-to for a reception. Chardonnay, we got Merlot also.
Why a Chard?
I think it's your best opportunity to do a generic white. Because Sauvignon Blanc
was my name in high school.
Yes, it was. Okay, so there's a lot of the white wines can be, you know, alienating to people because they can be too sweet, like a Riesling or a Moscato. They can be too bone dry, like a lot of the European stuff. But you can find a good like Oregon Chard or California Chard. You know, especially if you go for one that's unoaked and clean, it'll be a nice, easy drinking white wine. And a lot of times you can get them at a good price. So. It's a good crowd-pleasing wine if you can find a good, well-balanced Chard. And I think this one's pretty good. I mean, I don't get a whole lot of buttery oak on it or anything like that.
Yeah, the buttery is what people complain about with Chards, right? I don't like a buttery Chard.
It can give it kind of a creamy, you know, very rich texture. And
we've talked about this in previous pods, but like a good Chardonnay that's like, is it metal?
Yeah, like steel. Casked? Like stainless steel, yeah.
Rather than wood.
And you'll see that very common in French whites. You'll see them often aged in steel barrels. California's become more and more of a thing over the years. When I first started working the store, you see a lot of heavily oaked California stuff. I mean, it was all like big, buttery, I mean, like fresh stick of butter Chardonnays. Like very alienating. A lot of people just can't stand that flavor.
Yeah.
But if you can find one that's nice and clean and crisp, this is a good wedding wine. So yeah, Mon Frere Chardonnay, it's a good pick.
Contraire.
And also, we are doing a Merlot, which we'll talk about in the next pod. But yeah, we're doing a red as well. Merlot is also a good, crowd-pleasing, easy-drinking red wine.
It bothers me that you don't pronounce the T. I mean, it's just
the Merlot.
It's a Merlot.
Mm-hmm. Some people do.
That's a bar in True Blood, Merlots.
The Merlots. I like it. Because it's like, you know, blood, like wine can sometimes be called sangria, which is like blood.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Sangre.
Mm-hmm.
So what movie did we watch? We're 9 minutes in.
Yeah. Father of the Bride. A little bit about the movie. A little background. Released December 20th, 1991.
It's a remake.
It is a remake.
What?
The original film came out in 1950. Spencer Tracy played the dad in that one.
What do you say?
And it's being remade again.
With Gloria Estefan and I forget who the dad is, but it's like a Latino version of it.
No.
So I remember Gloria Estefan is the mom. I don't remember. I'm blanking. We'll have to look this up, who the dad is in that one. But it's another remake.
Different pod.
Yeah. Elizabeth Taylor was the bride in the original. So, and it's a classic schmaltzy 50s rom-com. Steve Martin is the dad in this one. I put him down as wealthy-ish. I mean, we're saying upper middle class. I mean, he borders on upper class.
Yeah, he's borderline like... lower upper class.
I would think they're millionaires. That's my kind of read.
Easily.
Because the Diane Keaton at one point says like they don't go on trips. They live below their means. Like they don't drive fancy cars.
They have equity.
Yeah, wait,
for sure.
Yeah, they don't have a fancy car. What the hell kind of car was Steve Martin?
His car was fancy as fuck.
It was like a roadster. It was like a vintage roadster.
Yeah, they you know pulled up close to so you could see it, and I couldn't read it, but I was like, well, that's a fancy little cute
car.
Like
tell a if collector. It was an Aston Martin,
something like that.
Or
And so think
something
about
European for sure.
Think about that. Think about that when you see their house. Like that's them living below their means. That's them like that's not as wealthy as what they really are.
Well, he's a factory owner. Mm-hmm. Like
he's running a shoe company.
Which is notoriously like high profit margins.
Mm-hmm.
But props to him for not running a sweatshop.
Yeah.
Yeah. And apparently he hates Nike.
He does.
Those Oregonians, you know.
But I would say he's got 50 employees in that building. Easy.
Easy.
So, and the, you know, the other guy's even richer. So basic plot is very simple. Diane Keaton's his wife, Kimberly Williams, in her first role, plays their daughter, Annie, who's like college age, probably senior college age, comes home from studying in Rome and announces that she is getting married to a guy that she met over there and over the course of, I guess, that semester, because it's a few months of them knowing each other. And
they had their 8-month like anniversary at some point during the movie.
Yeah, so. But they got engaged at 4 months.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah.
That's quick.
That's quick. It was, you know, those were the days.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It'll never last.
So Diane Keaton's character, Nina, is overjoyed. She's, I mean, typical mom, gushing, happy, thrilled. Steve Martin's character is very grouchy, very aloof. He doesn't want to be old enough to have a married daughter. He doesn't want to have his only daughter probably marry anybody anywhere, ever. And
he still sees his daughter as a, you know, little girl.
10 years old. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's suspicious the groom has an ulterior motive or is some kind of escaped fugitive from justice. And as the movie goes on, basically the plot complication is that Nina and Annie, the daughter, plan an increasingly ambitious and expensive wedding, which annoys George and gives him great amounts of anxiety. Martin Short shows up as comic relief, a character named Frank.
Frank?
He's an eccentric wedding planner with what I would describe as an otherworldly accent. It's part French, part Polish, part Martian.
It's ambiguous.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He is a clear attempt to spice the movie with some comic relief. And I'm curious to get your guys' thoughts, and then I'm going to compare. Like, I took notes during the movie about the wedding and what it cost and all that kind of stuff, and just to bring that into reality. And so you guys give me your thoughts. Let's start with Trav.
So I've always liked this movie, but I realized I've never sat down and watched the entire thing. This is another one of those films that I would see on TV and I would watch with commercials, but I had never seen the very beginning. And honestly, for me, if I can skip ahead, did not have a very satisfying ending. It just, you know, you're just seeing Steve Martin being very, you know, getting screwed over at every turn. And you're like, oh, well, I guess they're essentially wanting him to help foot the bill and then just be quiet. Like, yes. just be a wallet that walks around and be a yes man and not.
Which is
all right. Well, you know, just. Fuck you guys, I guess I'll do that, but mm-hmm. whatever. Boom. Hit credits. I'm like, oh, there he goes. Mm-hmm. But yeah, he keeps wanting to have that some cathartic moment with his daughter, and at the very end he doesn't get to see any part of the wedding, and which, you know, I find funny in his own house, mm-hmm. eat the own food that he paid for. But at the end, it's just like a phone call with her saying, Daddy, I love you.
Yeah.
And then that's it.
Have fun on your honeymoon.
Yep. Yeah, bye. See you guys.
Credits.
Peace. Like, I thought I remembered it differently. I thought I remembered them, like, her making them turn around the limo and then come back and say hi or bye or something like that.
What should have happened.
But, and then leaving.
It's what our brain wants to happen.
Mm.
Yeah.
But, so I guess I remembered it differently, or I'm thinking of part two. Or a scene in part two.
Yeah.
Because there were other scenes that I was expecting to see that I didn't realize happened in the sequel instead.
Yeah.
But having said that, I love this film. I love Steve Martin in just about anything.
He's great.
Like, it just somehow, any of those movies, this was one of those movies that's like a comfort film.
Yes, it is.
Where it's just, if it's on in the background, you're like, all right, this is good shit. Mm-hmm. And it's always cute to see them, you know, playing basketball in the driveway. I'm like, shit, I wish I still have a basketball goal in my house.
To play some hoops with your dad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sean's got one in his backyard.
I do. Yeah. I, you know.
And it is excellent.
My dad, every time he comes over, we just play one-on-one.
Yeah.
That's not true. We're both very short people. We're not basketball people.
Sean?
It was very cute. It's not my typical movie that I'm going to turn on and like watch, mm-hmm. but it's definitely like a comfortable, easy. It's like a slipper, you know, it's not going to be comfortable for like a long time, mm-hmm. but it's cozy when you're in it, you know? And, it was interesting seeing the time period for like what it is and where we are now. like the fact that they were like, what is a wedding coordinator? Yeah. Why do you need a wedding coordinator? And now it's like, oh, everyone everywhere. Has a wedding planner. You everywhere. Have to have a wedding planner or else you can't execute a wedding because everything has turned into like a massive industry that's become hyperinflated with insane costs.
Unless you're going to the courthouse, which is what my parents did.
Right. Or my parents, I think my mom saved the receipts from their wedding. I think it literally cost them $82.
That's brilliant.
Because they were musicians in the industry and they knew people and they knew all the venues. And so they were able to like call in all their favors for their wedding. And
yeah.
It ended up costing like $80. And I think that was mostly for my mom's dress.
Yeah.
So
that's awesome.
Yeah. You know, that was like early '80s. This movie's 1991. Where we are now, it's just like, it's a whole industry.
It's a thing.
It's a thing. Like you're going to pay money.
Yeah.
So seeing Steve Martin be like, it costs how much for a wedding?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, when like now it's like, okay, yeah, you're going to get married. Be prepared to drop five figures easy.
Oh yeah.
You know, whatever. It's going to be
crazy.
You know, take out a loan. And this was sort of like the transition from the antiquated, like, oh yeah, you know, well, it's tradition that the bride's father pays for everything for the wedding and the groom's father pays for the reception or the groom's father pays for the rehearsal dinner.
Yeah.
Which is like a dinner.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I will say
for my family's sake, we had 85 people at our rehearsal dinner.
I remember that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Trav was a groomsman in my wedding, so he can definitely add some texture to this.
Didn't I make a speech and tell everybody how you had the runs or something?
Travis made a speech at my rehearsal dinner
yep.
with my family and Joanna's family present about how I had a sandwich from a submarine shop that gave me diarrhea.
Was it Bill and Ruth's?
It was. I hate to throw them under the bus like
I'm
that.
I'm so sorry. Don't sponsor us, Bill and
Ruth's. But yeah, it was something about that creamy Italian dressing that just went through me like crap through a goose.
Now, that wasn't the main focus of my speech.
Kind of sounds like it was.
Yeah. They pointed that out later. I was like, you know what? Maybe I'm not the best orator. Maybe I shouldn't get up and talk at these things. But
I think you're a great orator.
Yeah.
I mean,
my friends are very bad, and I was tipsy, and they were like, Travis, you should get up and talk. But I think Joanna was wanting me to also, or, no, sure, or somebody. I don't remember.
I feel like this speech is right up her alley. She would have really enjoyed
it. She did enjoy that a lot.
Yeah. I was not the maid of honor. I was not the best man giving this speech, but I was like, yeah, fuck it, I'll get up and say
something. That's what the rehearsal then is for the bridal party to get up and give your light roasts, because come wedding, it's going to be, you know, sentimental. And But yeah, like you said, we didn't get to see Steve Martin actually do any of those things.
He didn't get to truly enjoy it.
Yeah. You saw him just in the finale of the movie, which is the actual wedding itself. You just see him scrambling around all over the place, dealing with, he gets punished for the one decision he gets to make, which is having two parking attendants.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh God.
Yeah.
You are literally getting punished for making the one decision that you felt like you had any agency. I feel for him so bad in this movie.
It's kind of pitiful.
It just like, I don't know if it's a perspective thing that now I'm just like, oh my God, I can't believe he's being railroaded into such a ridiculous wedding. Of course you don't need swans. You don't need swans for a wedding. Mm-mm. You don't need like freshly planted tulips.
It's ridiculous.
In January.
And
come on,
I'm going to touch on that a little bit. So initially he's quoted $250 a guest
per head
for 568 guests. That is $142,000.
Beans and rice.
That is ridiculous. And I have heard of a few weddings that cost more than that, but the people who threw those weddings were extravagantly wealthy.
Didn't they get it down to like 150 people or
something like that
at the end?
Oh, okay. I don't think they did.
It still felt huge.
They wanted to, but I think they said it was over 200 bodies. Mm-hmm.
At 250 a guest, so you're still talking 50,000, which is, I mean, better. That's more in the realm, because the average wedding cost in America is between $20,000 and $40,000. That's the average wedding price.
Yep.
Now, so that's a little more acceptable. 250 is just outrageous for every person.
It's nuts.
And it's like,
even in 2022.
That's even now, that is outrageous. $150,000 for a wedding is outrageous. Mm-hmm. And so when he's given that speech about trying to cut the guest list down to size, I felt for that. It's like I felt for him. It's like that poor man, you know, even if he has a lot of money, it's like, that's crazy. And they're talking about bringing in, and they gutted his house. You know, they basically like revamped his house.
We are going to bring out your furniture. We're going to bring in the chairs.
Wait,
so you're going to take all the furniture out of my house so you can bring furniture into my house?
Mm-hmm. It's like I'm on Team Steve with that.
I know. I was sympathized with him so much.
I was on his team the whole time.
His daughter got upset when they were cutting people. She goes, well, I guess we could just cut out everybody or we'll just still over.
Mm-hmm. Bitch, are you going paying
like,
for this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like, hey.
This 22-year-old architecture student, are you paying for this?
Yeah. Hey, you know, daughter, I'm sorry that you got the sniffles about me, you know, spending my entire retirement on one day. Mm-hmm. But, you know.
I do think they kind of address it a little bit with, you know, sort of the big clash between her and her fiance, where he comes, the father comes to the realization that, like, okay, well, we're just a passionate people. And I pass that down to my daughter. And, mm-hmm. you know, that's just who we are. And it'll dissipate over time. Maybe your children will be normal.
Mm-hmm. What is... Reminds me of what just sometimes a blender is just a blender.
Exactly.
Sometimes a blender is and just a blender.
It seems like if he explained it the way he explained it to Steve Martin, and where, you know, okay, so to put it in context, it's like that the big like conflict that almost breaks up the movie. The fiance
banana smoothies.
The fiance gives his
fiance.
Yeah. Gives his bride to be a blender, which she interprets as a misogynistic, thoughtless gift that references like 50s like sitcom archetypes of the housewife, like, you know, make me something in the kitchen. And so she gets offended by that,
like gifting someone a vacuum.
Mm-hmm. And but then,
which vacuums are really expensive. That's a great gift.
Yeah, I would love a good vacuum.
Kill for
it. Definitely wouldn't. Ooh. And my wife would love to create vacuum.
Actually, too. I have a really nice vacuum. I was really proud when I bought it.
Yeah.
What kind of vacuum is it?
It is a Dyson Ball.
That's
sponsor us. Too.
Yeah, Dyson Ball sponsor us.
It's in the Vino's brought to
Dyson
you.
Dyson sucks.
And so she gets offended by that. And then the fiance explains it in a way that would completely diffuse the argument in the first place when he tells him that, like, you know, she likes to make things in a blender. She likes to make with smoothies. And it's like,
well, so, and it was also, he added a story about how Steve Martin's character, you know, did something crazy at his parents' house. And she was like, well, that's a completely ridiculous lie. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah.
Dramatic irony.
He does the champs like,
yeah.
And he could have owned up to that and stuff. It's a sitcom moment that could have been completely.
Oh, I mean, there's a lot of moments like that where he throws the bank book into the pool.
Yeah.
You know, and then he's trying to fish it out, and the dogs are trying to get at him.
Yeah. And it's like, I think that was a nod by probably either the screenwriter or director of, like, we have Steve Martin, who's one of the best physical comedians who ever lived.
Yeah.
And it's like, we have to give him something to do rather than be just the whiny dad who in voiceovers is just like, oh, I can't believe I'm losing my little girl. We got to give him something comedic to do. So he's got to, you know, fall in the pool, fall off the house, something. You know,
cause it's like, I was born a poor black child.
It's like you got one of the funniest guys on earth, and you're kind of saddling him with a little bit of a mopey role, you know? He's kind of the milquetoast.
He plays a good mopey.
He does.
He does because he has sort of that, like, you know, downtrodden, like, woe is me comedy.
And I will say that got a little bit old for me after a while.
Yeah.
Because that's pretty much where his voiceover would always go. It's like, I can't believe I'm losing my daughter. I guess I'm just going to be the third fiddle. I guess everybody's going to ignore me. I'm like an old pair of sneakers. You know, it's like, oh my God, dude. You know, it's just like that's his constant thing of just like, it's easy Eeyore, you know? It's like, dude.
He is very Eeyore.
It's like, cheer up, man.
Yeah. I could easily listen to him, like, reading The Horse Whisperer while I fall asleep.
I mean,
Steve Martin's got a great voice.
He does. Mm-hmm. And he's an excellent banjo player.
He is a tremendous banjo player.
He's middling at best.
No, he is. I've heard better. You take that back.
He is a phenomenal musician. It's like, but that gives you an insight into his personality. He's a very bright, like.
He is the Bela Fleck of banjo players.
Definitely the Bela Fleck of the SNL alumni.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So,
Have you ever seen the picture of him? I think it's from the 70s. It's before he went full gray, where he's like rocking full like denim head to toe with like a whole bunch of turquoise, and he has a banjo.
Yeah.
That's just sexiest man alive. I'll pull up a picture. Hold on.
Yeah, please do. Mm. So I liked it less. I saw it in the theater when I was a little kid. And I mean, obviously it appealed. I mean, because it had a great soundtrack. It appealed to me then. Like you said, this playing basketball. And the character Kieran Culkin, Macaulay Culkin's little brother, plays the little boy.
Yeah.
I related to that because I have two much older sisters.
Yeah, he's just like fucking sex machine.
Sean is showing me this black and white photo right now.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
He's a hunky dude.
Steve Martin. I mean, he went gray at like 25. We'll link this
on Instagram, but yeah.
Yeah.
Same here. Can't say much. I'm also
looking at his belt line a lot.
But if you've never read his autobiography, it's called Born Standing Up. It's it's worth a read. It's so
like,
good.
You can't see it, but I would imagine that like his happy trail is everywhere and nowhere at once. Right.
Oh, his happy trail goes all the way up and all the way down.
His happy trail is like a Visa card. It's everywhere you want to be. So yeah, I would say I enjoyed this movie less now than I did then.
Yeah, that's fair.
Just because it's like, well, you know, I felt like the daughter was pretty bratty, and I mean, and also to Diane Keaton, to a certain degree, like almost demanding Steve Martin give them this wedding. And part of the reason why you would have a reception at your house is to save money.
Yeah.
That's a cost-cutting measure is to have it at your house. Mm-hmm. And the fact that they basically renovated his house in a way that he will have to pay more money to get it back the way he wants it is even worse.
My favorite line is when Diane Keaton comes up to the attic and is like, honey, the church is free. He's like, oh, finally, something is. And she's like, no, I just mean it's available.
Wah, wah.
And it's like you can just see the crash of he thinks somebody's looking out for him the same way he is. And mm-hmm.
But I will say that, like, my wedding, we because it's kind of similar, we invited around 570 people.
Ooh.
And we had 400 there. We had 400 people. Because we ended up with about 385 or so confirmed, like, yeses, and then we had some crashers show up.
Nice.
So
do we have the hot chicks.
I'll take your word for that.
I just remember he invited them. Weren't there some like random gals that showed up?
There were, I believe, from her old workplace that showed up. Yeah.
Oh, all right, cool.
But I would say our guest price, I would say we were just a little bit under $100 a guest.
Yeah, $250 a head in 1991.
Yeah,
is insane.
So that would be probably $300,000 now.
That's insane per head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You'd be paying about $300,000 for that wedding today. That's outrageous. That's so expensive. You'd be paying right now that $250 would be more like $450 a head.
Yeah.
And you think about that. Go to like a nice steakhouse and get an expensive bottle of wine. That's what you're, for two people, probably what your bill's going to be.
How much is a swan? How much is just one swan?
If I were to rent a swan for a day.
No, I
can get you a swan, dude.
I'm going to need it longer than that.
I have a swan guy.
There are ways. I can get you a swan by 3:30.
Swan!
Swans are like disgusting. I mean, like birds like that in general are gross. They just shit everywhere.
There are very few birds that I want to be around.
And it looks like they're running loose, like, around their property. Those things are mean.
Yeah.
Those birds, like, swans will come after you.
They're not Canadian geese, but they're mean.
Yeah.
Snake chickens.
If that's not a band name, that needs to be. But, yeah, planting tulips and all that, like, garbage, it's like, that's outrageous. Yeah, that.
So let's talk about the scene where he has his little breakdown in the grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, he's right.
Oh, he's
the, totally. The hot dog and hot dog bun cartel is out of control.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that we have to buy 8 hot dogs and 12 buns.
Look, all you have to do is buy 3 packages of the 8 hot dogs.
I know how to do the math, Travis.
Well, I didn't. And I did it. And then, you know, I came with
receipts. He takes out 4 from one package. He takes out 4 from another package. Why not just buy a third pack of hot dogs?
But you're jumping through their hoops, man. You're playing their game.
You're playing their game. They just made you buy 3 packs of hot dogs.
Yeah.
Also, yeah, here's the other thing is you need to go next level with your hot dogs. The buns are too big for the wieners that you're putting in there. Double up your wieners in the bun, all right? That's a double hot dog. You don't have to have 2 hot dogs. You have 2 wieners in one bun.
That's what they told me on prom night.
And that's also
2 hot dogs in one bun. No. Not in today's buns. Get a double wide,
Listen, 2 wieners in one bun. And that's also my go-to search on Pornhub.
2 wieners in one bun?
What happens if they plump when you cook them?
Oh, I mean, that's...
That's a curveball, sir. But, I mean, you know, that seems like you're getting even more hot dog, more wiener, but less bun.
Let's be honest. At some point, if you put 2 hot dogs in one bun, you're going to split the bun, and then you're eating a sandwich. It's not a hot dog. It's a sandwich.
Yeah.
Guys,
it's a weenie sandwich.
I'm going to do a segue from our last month, which was about baseball.
Speaking of dinosaurs.
Real quick.
Speaking of hot dogs.
Here's your bun. Do you go wiener first, or you do like the toppings, I guess? Or
it depends on the topping. If it's condiment, I'll go condiment first.
Yes.
Like mayo, mustard, ketchup. I don't do mayo on a hot dog, but like mustard and ketchup. I'll go on the bun.
There's still some in there.
I'll do hot dog, typically like a cheese and an onion. Yeah, on top.
Yeah, I agreed. I do the condiment in just the bun because I, you know, God love mustard. But if you're sitting there eating and you'll get mustard up in your nose or on your upper lip,
well,
and
you're facial hair, all
you're
of
gonna
us.
Taste that all day. That's
it's not good.
Getting mustard in your mustache is not great.
Yeah,
I like to smell my
the great first line to a song.
I was gonna say that's a song,
getting mustard in your mustache is not okay.
Getting mustard in your mustache is not okay. I smother my mustard in my buns
every day.
That's a Shel Silverstein poem.
Yeah,
you know. That's where the sidewalk ends.
The giving tree.
Now, have you ever tried butterflying your hot dog?
That's gross.
Ooh. Oh, wait. Does it still go in the bun?
Oh, yeah.
You rounded. So you put the flat part down in the middle of the bun, and you got your rounded buns.
Yep. Right. So you got flat on edges and round in the middle.
Ooh.
Okay.
Anyway, Father of the Bride.
Okay. So real quick going around, what would you give it? 1 to 10?
Man, I feel like I've said 6.5 to 7 for a lot of films recently.
Travis is straddling the fence.
It's a good film. I'm going to say 6 even. Like, I liked it. I would, you know, almost always watch it when it's on TV. I liked it less this time. Like Todd said, I'm like, all right, yeah, I still love it. But it's maybe not my go-to anymore. I think still my favorite Steve Martin movie is Roxanne. So I'll give it a solid 6. No, fuck it, 6.5. I did it again.
6.6. Damn it. One thing to look out for, the first guy that they auditioned to be a wedding singer is Eugene Levy. I don't know if you guys noticed that.
Yes, I did pick that up. Mm-hmm. I looked over at John and I was like, is that Eugene Levy?
Eugene Levy.
And Squints, from Sandlot, was
the best friend.
Macaulay Culkin,
not Macaulay,
brother
Kieran Culkin.
Kieran Culkin's friend that helped him move cars.
And it's weird seeing Kieran Culkin, who is in Succession. I don't know if you guys have seen that TV show.
Yep.
He is like the raunchiest, most disgusting, like dick pic sending dude. Seeing him as like an innocent little like 10-year-old kid is bizarre.
He was also in Igby Dick Goes Down.
She's All That. He's in a few things from back then. So Sean.
I'm giving this a 5.5 out of 10.
Okay.
Just a bit below 6. I'm not going to go out of my way to see it. It's cute. I get it. Doesn't age as well as I expected it to. Mm-hmm. You know, 1991, a lot of rich people problems. A lot of first world problems.
Yep.
Man, I could not. It was annoying.
Yeah.
Like, for parts of it.
There's a lot of people that trade places with your problems, dude. A
lot of very entitled people complaining about stuff.
Yeah, just complaining about how many fancy shirts they have to try on before they meet each other. It's like, you poor people.
Yeah.
Oh my God, your bank book is in the pool.
The comic relief doesn't quite offset that. So yeah. I think it falls right around 5.5.
And I do love Martin Short.
His hair is amazing.
Yeah.
It's very good. He's very skinny.
Yeah, and
he's very small in this movie,
and he just plays a great weirdo. You know,
he does.
It's like he's somebody that was like in this movie. He feels like somebody that was randomly dropped onto this planet and just left.
Yeah, and you know that does feel, having seen the whole film, like, and noticing Eugene Levy, you're like, man, this film needed more Eugene Levy.
Yes,
it needed like
literally
most
any
fucked
amount
up, like,
of Eugene Levy more than what.
Yeah,
it was.
It needed one more scene about like crazy band at the end. Mm-hmm. So, yeah,
yeah. I mean, it could have used more of that energy, like weird. Like they had like a weird ass band at the wedding, like more just like fun stuff like that.
And you're telling me that somebody comes into my house and starts like upgrading my electrical, and I'm gonna tell them no. No, do it, man.
Yeah,
get it done. Exactly. Give me some amperage.
Yeah. You can't have too much.
Can't have too much amperage.
I'm going to say 6. Yeah. I mean, I really enjoyed it as a young kid.
Sure.
I mean, this is probably elementary school time period for me to see this. And so I enjoyed it back then. I looked at it, like I was saying earlier, like I had a much older sister. I had 2 much older sisters. So I was a little kid. So it's like I kind of related to a little kid. It's like I could see this as my family dynamic.
You were Kieran.
Yeah, I was the little accident baby. So,
see, I could totally see them, like, obviously they're trying to remake everything, and I guess they're remaking this. But I kind of like those legacy movies where I can totally see Steve Martin being the grandpa and mm-hmm. his daughter, her daughter, like, well, getting married and having that.
I think in 2020 they did like a Father of the Bride Part 3 short.
What?
Like, where are they now? A COVID kind of thing.
Yeah, it was like a COVID, it was all treated like a Zoom call. It was, quote unquote, filmed like a Zoom call. And it was like a short where they sort of revisited, like, oh, where are they now? Had Diane Keaton, had Steve Martin, had everybody.
Holy shit, I didn't hear about that.
Because now
nobody did because it was meaningless.
Yeah. Because now, like, her kids would be old enough to be getting married.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
God damn it. It's fucking amazing.
Well, let's just keep in mind that in 1991, I was. One.
So this has been another episode of Cinemino.
There we go.
And we can't get through an episode without
mentioning my age.
Oh, and how, like, you know, I'm frankly, well, I mean, me, maybe Travis, older than dirt.
Oh, yeah.
Very, very old.
I guess.
And if Taylor was here, Taylor.
I'm just 10 years older than Jonathan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't know. It doesn't bother me because I'm very immature.
It's true. Fair point. But we thank you guys very much. Montfer Chardonnay. And then in the next pod, we're going to talk about the High Heaven Merlot. We're going to do a little bit of Doctor Strange. We're going to talk about
the multiverse.
You know, yeah.
What's our next wedding movie?
The next wedding movie we're going to do is Kill Bill, Volumes 1.
One and two. Mm-hmm. It's one fucking film split in two.
We can debate that in our pod.
Well. I mean, we can.
Because I've heard conflicting things from Quentin Tarantino himself, even about whether or not it's meant to be.
He does a lot of drugs. He can't be trusted.
Yeah. Yeah. And after that, My Best Friend's Wedding, which Joe and I are almost finished with right now. We paused for this. So we will get back to watching that. And that's another movie where it's like, man, Julia Roberts is basically the villain of this movie.
Mm.
She is the bad guy.
Mm. Rupert Everett?
Mm-hmm. So, but we'll talk about that later. More to come. We thank you guys so much. We will see you guys soon.
Molto bene.
Yeah. Sean Jordan, Travis Budd.
Peace.
Thanks.
My name is Todd. Not with a bang, but with a whimper.
There we go.
Be sure to listen, rate, and subscribe at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast. Our website is at cinemavino.net, and reviews of these movies can be found at toddwoffordmovies.com. If you're interested in starting your very own podcast, Blueberry is one of the top hosting companies in the world. You can get your first month free with Blueberry by using the promo code CINEMAVINO. You can also use the hosting estimator on their site to determine the best plan for you. And don't forget, that's CINEMAVINO to get your first month free.